Well, you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Matthew chapter 27. Tonight, I'm going to be sharing on the truth about Judas. We're going to unravel two commonly held Christian beliefs around Judas that result in apparent contradictions in most Christian churches. But we're going to see how the word fits like a hand in a glove tonight, and that there are no contradictions when it comes to God's word. But we're going to first look at why people think there are contradictions, and that's in Matthew 27, verse 1. It says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." So they have captured Jesus and they've bound him. So Jesus is currently still alive. "When Judas, which had betrayed him," or then Judas, "which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. He felt sorry for what he had done, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.'" Basically, Jesus Christ is innocent. I made a mistake. This is my fault. I've sinned. "And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and" what?
Hanged himself.
Right. Verse 11. "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou sayest.' And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing." So Jesus Christ is, several verses later, still alive, right? So in reading these verses, it seems like Judas, who betrayed Jesus, feels bad and tries to undo it. And when he can't, he goes out and commits suicide before Christ is ever crucified, right? Because verse 5 says, "He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and he went and he hanged himself." And that's what most Christians believe, right? That he felt bad for what happened, he tried to give the money back, and then he went and killed himself. And then verse 6, it says, "And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood.'" Like, it's not clean money. It was used to betray this guy. We can't just put it in the treasury with the rest of God's money. So they just tried to figure out what to do with it. "And they took counsel and bought with them," the 30 pieces of silver, "the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day." Right? So the priests take that 30 pieces of silver that Judas threw back at them, and they buy a field, which comes to be known as the field of blood, to bury strangers in. That's important later. Just remember that. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Acts 1:15 says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names together were about 120, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Acheldama, that is to say, the field of blood. So then in these verses, it says in verse 18, now this man, referring to Judas, purchased a field. But the other scripture in Matthew says that who purchased the field? The priests purchased the field, right? And verse 19 says the field that Judas purchased was called the field of blood. And that's what the field that the priests had purchased was. So that's why a lot of Christian churches believe it to be the same thing, but it seems like there's contradictory statement there. Did Judas buy it, or did the priests buy it? And they believe that that reward of iniquity was the money that Judas had gotten to betray Jesus, that same 30 pieces of silver. But if Judas threw it down in the temple, how did he use it to buy the field? We'll have to figure that out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. It says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, which is another word for Peter, then of the what? 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James, then of all the what? Apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So in verse 5, it says he was seen of the 12. And then in verse 7, it says he was seen of all the apostles. So that begs the question, how could Judas, one of the 12 apostles, see the resurrected Christ if he went out and killed himself before Jesus Christ was ever crucified? Jesus Christ he was still alive when Judas killed himself, if that's the way we're to interpret Matthew. So that seems like a contradiction as well. So we have to work the word to let it sort itself out, right? Let's go to Luke chapter 24. You know the word has to have no contradictions in it. It's truth. It has no error. But if you talk to many Christians, they try to explain away why both of these things could be true, or what actually happened here, or those 12 must be somebody else. But we'll unravel it all here tonight. Luke 24, verse 1, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. This is when the women go to see where Jesus Christ was buried. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day. So you can read everything in between if you want, but it's still the same day, first day of the week, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. And we know this record, right? These are the guys on the road to Emmaus that Jesus appears to. But that was on the same day, that first day of the week. Verse 29. But they, the guys who walked with him on the road to Emmaus, constrained him, Jesus Christ, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he, Jesus, went to tarry with them. So it's the same day, but now it's getting very late. Verse 33. Jesus Christ reveals who he is, and they are shocked, and they're like, we are eating bread with the Lord. And he disappears, vanishes out of their sight. Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour, which means immediately, and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So this is all still that same day. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. So this is all part of the same day, which is relevant because we're going to read a parallel record in John. So the timing is important. But in verse 33, it says, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found what? The 11. Oh no, there's only 11 of them. Is that because Judas is dead? I don't know. Let's find out. Go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. If he was seen of the 12, how come he was only seen of 11? A real head scratcher. John 20, verse 1. This is the parallel record in John. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So it's the first day of the week. It's the same day as the record in Luke. Verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. All the verses in between is Christ appearing to Mary and explaining all this stuff. So she comes back and tells them, I saw Jesus Christ. Verse 19. Then the same day, so it's still the first day of the week, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. So he poofs into the middle of the room and he says, peace be unto you. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the how many?
12,
called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the reason only 11 are mentioned in Luke is because who's missing?
Thomas.
Which means if Thomas is the one missing, who must be there?
Judas.
So Judas must have seen the resurrected Christ, because that was the resurrected Christ, right? He was there after Jesus Christ was crucified and after Jesus Christ was resurrected. So it's Thomas who wasn't there. But 1 Corinthians 15 says he was seen of the 12. Well, he wasn't seen of Thomas. So let's go to verse 24. 24 again, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, Thomas said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. So this time Thomas is there. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Just love how he poofs into the room all the time. He's the best. So there you go. This time Thomas is there, and this time he gets to see Jesus. Okay, so now we're good. Everything fits. He was seen of the 12, which means that Judas was there when after the resurrection. Another account confirms this in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. This record's also going to clarify for us when Judas did kill himself. We know it wasn't all in that one motion there in Matthew. He had to have still been there after Christ was resurrected, because he was seen of them. Acts 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, which means raised from the dead. After that, through the Holy Ghost, or through Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had what? Chosen. So this book is written by Luke. God's the author. Luke wrote it down, but he said until all that he wrote about Jesus in his gospel, until the day in which Jesus Christ was resurrected, and after he was resurrected, he gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And that's recorded in the gospels as well. He told them what to expect, what was coming, right? That they were going to do signs, miracles, and wonders, that they were going to be witnesses of him unto the uttermost part of the earth. He was preparing them for this day. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Right, so these are their questions. Now what we have to kind of note here is that in verse 2, it says the apostles whom he had chosen. And you can, if you have a little ribbon here or whatever, we're going to go to Mark chapter 3 real quick. We're going to come right back, just in case there's any question in your mind that Judas is part of that. Mark 3:14 says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that they might, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and this is where he lists the 12, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into a house. Now the word Iscariot there is not his like actual last name, but it means of or man of Kerioth, which was a city or a town in Judah, in southern Judah. Right, so you have Galilee up here and you have Judah down here, and that's where Judas Iscariot, a man of Kerioth, was from. And that's important. We're going to go back to Acts. And it's important because we're going to follow the pronouns through here from verse 3 again. Well, the end of verse 2 says, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom? So the to whom refers to the apostles he had chosen. Also, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, the apostles he had chosen, 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, the apostles whom he had chosen, commanded them that he should not depart, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye, the apostles whom he had chosen, shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they, the apostles that he had chosen, therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, the apostles that he had chosen, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they, the apostles whom he had chosen, beheld, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they, the apostles whom he had chosen, looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. So they watch him go up, and then there's two men who are standing there in white apparel. And then the next verse is really interesting because it starts, which also said. Doesn't say that the two men said. It doesn't say two men appeared which said. It says they also said, which indicates some amount of time passing. But what they say is even more interesting. Ye men of what? Galilee. Was Judas a man of Galilee? He was not. He was a man of Kerioth. He was a Judean. He was of Judah. So when these two men talk to them in verse 11, they say, ye men of Galilee, which is a change in all of the theys and thems and ye's that came before. The pronoun of reference changes in this verse. And it changes because this is when Judas left. Judas was not part of the group in verse 11 any longer. He watched Jesus Christ go up, but at some point after that, he leaves. So the verse 11 again, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they, and this time the they is the men of Galilee, unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where there abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of who? But who's not mentioned? Judas Iscariot, because he's not there. Because he had gone and left the group at that point. And at some point, after leaving the group, he went and killed himself. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So this confirms that there is no Judas. And we'll read this section again now because we've got a little more understanding of it. But it says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together, about 120, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now verse 18 and 19 are not what Peter said. They're an aside. They're an explanation of who Judas was. Because it's not like Peter was saying these things. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Peter was not describing this grisly death to the group. It's just information for the reader. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. Now back to what Peter was saying. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So his place in the ministry, his bishopric, someone was going to have to fill. Now there was a gap. There was only 11 of them. We need another guy. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they pointed to Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And so they find Judas's replacement. Why didn't they find Judas's replacement earlier? Because he was still alive, right? They just not like they, you know, Judas hanged himself before Jesus Christ was crucified, and then they waited all this time to finally find another guy. Judas had recently left the group, and evidently by the parenthetical reference in 18 and 19, went and killed himself, and they needed to find his replacement because he was no longer there. Now, the word hanged in verse 18, in verse 18 it says, and he falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Sounds very different than what we think of when we think of the word hanging. Right? We think hanging, we think they tied a noose around his neck and hung from it. But in the lands and times of the Bibles, they would often commit suicide, and you can see this with Saul in the Old Testament, that they would fall on their own sword. Right? They would hang themselves on the tip of something sharp and impale themselves. And that's what it means when it talks about in Matthew that he hung himself. Right? Judas would have found a sharp pointy stake and hung himself, and that's why it's described here in Acts as bursting asunder in the midst and all of his innards gushing out. Ugh. But that's what happened. In verse 19, it says that the field was called Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. In Matthew 27, verse 8, the word is actually agros. Agros haimatos, H-A-I-M-A-T-O-S. The haimatos is the blood part, and the agros is the field part, the land. This word here, the field of blood, the word field is a different word. It's not agros. It's the word chorion, which means a property. Agros is a very large field, you know, one that they would need to create something like a graveyard for these strangers. But the property that Judas bought is called a chorion. It's just a property. It doesn't have the same scale or size as an agros, right? And so we want to look into that a little bit too. Go to John chapter 12. So now we know that Judas did not go out and immediately hang himself. That the verses in Matthew that we read earlier are a synopsis of what happened to Judas. It's a summation. It's not meant to be taken as a string of consecutive events that all happened at once. And that's where the confusion comes from. People read it and think, oh, he threw down the money and he went and he hanged himself. Well, that is what happened. He repented, he threw down the money, and he went and hanged himself. But it wasn't that it happened in that span of time or that short instance. It's just this, that's all that Matthew talks about Judas. He went in, he felt bad, he threw down the money, and eventually he hung himself. In John chapter 12, verse 1, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? How could this woman use this very pricey ointment to do this instead of selling it and giving it to the poor? Sounded very concerned for the poor. But verse 6 says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag and bare what was put therein. So Judas, when it says he had the bag, he was like the ministry treasurer. He was the guy who held the money box. He was the guy in charge of the funds for the group. And it says that he was a thief. He was a thief. He bare what was put therein, meaning he took some of the money that people would give for the ministry and he'd kind of keep a little for himself. Right? And so he was kind of skimming off the top. And so in Acts, when it says that he bought the field with the reward of iniquity, people assume, wrongly, that that's the 30 pieces of silver that he used to, or he got because he betrayed Jesus. But that's just an assumption. We know that he didn't buy the land with the 30 pieces of silver because he threw it back. So the reward of iniquity must be the payments for these unjust deeds, right? The reward of iniquity basically means payment or gain through unjust deeds. And it was the money that he was skimming off the top of the ministry. And so over the time that he had been a part of the ministry, he was skimming off the top and he bought himself a nice little piece of property. But then when the day came that he saw Jesus Christ ascend into heaven, and we can only assume felt wrapped with guilt about what he had done, he went back to that property and killed himself. But he had been using stolen funds to buy that property where he ultimately ended his life. The priests, on the other hand, used the silver to buy a potter's field as a graveyard for strangers. That's what it says in Matthew. Both were later referred to a field of blood, but for different reasons. Right? Judas's field was a field of blood because he killed himself on it. And the priest's field was a field of blood because they had used the blood money, the money that was used to buy the betrayal of Jesus, and it was referred to as a field of blood because of that. Right? And how wonderfully it all fits together. Right? If we just take a cursory look at the word, it can appear as though there's contradictions and that there's things that don't seem to fit together. But when you work it out like this, you can see it's just two different fields of blood. And it's just a different time that Judas went and hung himself, and that Matthew is really just a synopsis of those events. It's not meant to be taken literally as a sequence of events, that he threw down the money, went home, and killed himself. So I always love seeing the word fit together like that, and it's wonderful how, you know, there are no contradictions. It is the truth. And, you know, if we take the time to really dig into it and seek after it, it's very exciting to see how it all fits like a hand in a glove.